Okay, boys and girls, good to see you. Hands up if you like apples. Anybody like apples? Yeah, good. Some of you like your apples. That's great. Can anyone finish this saying? You might have heard somebody say this before. Okay, just make a little more space. Do you want to come around this way? Come around this way. Come with me. Charlotte, Sarah, butcher. Do you want to squeeze on the end there? Do you reckon you can both squeeze on there? Yeah. Can you help them, Charlotte? That would be really good. Thank you. See if you can finish this saying off, okay? An apple a day keeps... Anybody know how to finish that? Keeps you healthy. It's a good answer. But it was not the one I was thinking of. Is it? That's like catchphrase, isn't it? Sorry. Keeps the doctor away. Keeps you healthy. Yeah. So some of you like apples, and apples are really, really... healthy. Yeah, I've brought some apples with me today. I don't know if you can see them here on the floor in front of me, all right? This is a huge apple, this one, isn't it? Absolutely huge. It's not the biggest apple in the world. Do you know the biggest apple in the world was as big as some of your heads, all right? It was huge. It was grown in Japan, and it was massive. Anybody know what kind of apple this is? Is this a good one to eat? Charlotte, it's a cooking apple. So this, the variety of apple, this is called a Bramley apple, and it's a cooking apple. So you need to add lots of sugar to this one. All right, this is a different looking apple. This is quite, it's actually quite pink. Anyone know what this one's called? Joseph, do you know? A pink lady. Yes, it is. Very well done. And I've got one more apple for you. Actually, this has got a sticker on that tells you the answer. So I'm going to just put my finger over that one. Anybody know what... It's very green and it's quite shiny. It's got little dots on it. Anybody know? Anybody know? It's a Granny Smith. A Granny Smith. Fantastic. There's three very, very different apples there. Okay. Do you know there are something like 2,000 different apple varieties, and I doubt if we'll ever get to taste them all. I want to tell you a story today, okay? I want to tell you the story about a man called Mr. Apple Nailer, all right? Are you ready? I'm going to tell you about a very funny man called Mr. Apple Nailer, but I need you to listen up to this story. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear? Mr. Apple Nailer had a tree in his garden, and it was a apple tree. But Mr. Apple Nailer's apple tree didn't really produce any apples. Sometimes it did, but they were small and misshapen and sour and rotten. They were not nice at all. So this is what he decided to do. He decided to go to the supermarket to buy a trolley load of apples. And that's what he did. I'm going to buy some good apples for my bad apple tree. So he went to the supermarket and he filled his trolley with loads and loads of apples. Lots of money, probably. But when he got back to his house, he called in B&Q on the way back, bought a hammer and some nails, and he nailed all of these good apples to his bad tree. He looked out of his window and thought, wow, look at my amazing apples on the tree. He was so excited, he invited his neighbours round, come and see my amazing apples. What do you think happened the next year? Do you think his tree produced good apples? They didn't grow again, did they? No. Why? Why didn't they grow again? Yeah.
Because he just nailed them.
Because he just nailed them to his tree. The reason they didn't grow again, because there was something wrong with his tree. Anyway, Mr. Apple Nailer, very funny man, decided what he was going to do. He wasn't going to buy good apples this time. What he was going to do, he was going to plant some good apple trees around his bad apple tree. Maybe if it was surrounded by good apple trees, that it would grow good apples. Do you think that was a good idea?
Yeah.
Yeah? No?
No.
No. Guess what? Guess what happened the next year? No apples on his bad apple tree. Why? Because there was something wrong with the tree. Now, that was just what Jesus was saying in our Bible reading. Jesus said that, didn't he? Like in Mr. Apple Nailer's story, Jesus said just that thing. He says, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree or the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree or a bad tree bear good fruit. Do you know when Jesus said that, he was talking not really about trees, he was talking about people. He was saying in some ways trees are just like
people.
Yeah, that's right. So if what Jesus says was true and everything Jesus said was true, what will God see if he looks at our lives? If we're like trees, if God looked at our lives, what would he see? Would he see good fruit or would he see bad fruit? Would he look and say, wow, look at this beautiful, wonderful, amazing, good fruit? Or would he say, oh, actually, they're quite bad. They're rotten. They're not the shape they should be. I wonder what God would see. I wonder what God would say when he looked at our lives. Good fruit or bad fruit? Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later. I'm going to tell you the answer to that question a little bit later. So what I want you to do now is help fill the trolley with some good things, all right? Who goes shopping with Mum and Dad? Anybody goes shopping with Mum and Dad? Yeah, okay. So here's what we're going to do this morning. What I'd like you to do, and we're going to start with Daniel. Can you start? I'm going to show you what to do. So we start with Daniel's row. What I'd like you to do, Daniel, is take something off the table and carefully come up to the trolley. And can you put it in the trolley? Because we're going to try and fill this trolley for food bank. Brilliant. Great, you can go and sit down now. Boys and girls, do you think you can do that? So we'll start with Daniel. Do you want to lead the way? And then Joseph, do you want to follow? Off you go. Go on, let's do it. Thank you. So we've been managed to fill a trolley full of good things, which is amazing. I just want you to use your imagination for a moment. What if we were to fill a trolley this morning, not with food for food bank, or with a fruit from a tree or an orchard? What if we were this morning to fill a trolley with the fruit of our lives? So you'd need to use your imagination a little this morning. But what if we did do something like that? What would be in that trolley? What would that trolley look like? Well, there would be the things that we've said, the things that we've done in our lives. There'd be things we've done, but we shouldn't have done. And then it'd be the shame of the things we should have done, but haven't done. And then there'd be those really, really bad things we know we've done. And in the trolley too, there would even be those good things we've done, but we've done them with wrong motives or for the wrong reasons. You know, if we did something like that this morning, I'd have to say, I would be embarrassed, ashamed for you to see and for God to see the trolley of the fruit of my life. But here's the thing, God does see the fruit of our lives. Well, this morning we thought a little with the children about Mr. Apple Nailer. And the reason he couldn't produce good apples was because there was something wrong with his tree. And the Bible teaches that we as human beings can't produce good fruit pleasing to God Because there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. Jesus said, didn't he, that people are like trees. I don't know if you ever feel a little like that. Embarrassed or ashamed to think about the trolley of your life. I wonder ever in your kind of serious moments, do you ever think, you know, I failed to be the person I would like to be, let alone being the person that God would want me to be. I wonder if you ever have those moments where you think about the trolley of your life. Maybe sometimes you feel guilty knowing that it's true. That filling a trolley would be quite exposing. Maybe you have those moments where you feel powerless knowing that that's true. Powerless actually to sort that out. However hard you try, you're not able to sort that out. You know there's something not right in your life. Something wrong in your life. Well, do you know people do try and sort out this problem? But sadly, many of them find themselves a little like Mr. Apple Nailer, trying to sort out the problem in all the wrong ways. Some people are just like Mr. Apple Nailer in that they try and put on a good appearance. Maybe I'm going to give to charity. Look at me putting my money in the box. It's like pinning apples on a tree. Look at my good outward works. But inside, there's something still very wrong. There's still inside anger and lust and envy and pride and all horrible things that haven't been sorted out. It's like apple nailing. People try to do good things, but it doesn't really sort out the problem on the inside. But other people, perhaps they don't try and put on a good appearance, but they think they can sort out the problem by hanging out with good people. Like Mr. Apple Nailer, surrounding his bad tree with good apple trees. I know some people say, I'll go to church, I'll hang out with really good people, and that'll sort out the problem on the inside. But you know, that's just it, really. Coming to church doesn't sort out the problem on the inside. There's something deeper, something below the surface. It's just like Jesus said. The answer to humanity's problem is not found in putting on a good show. It's not found in hanging out with good people. The clear message of the Bible is this. The answer to humanity's biggest problem is found in good news. It's found in the good news message of Jesus Christ. It's found in listening and believing and putting into practice the good news of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said at the end of his amazing sermon? The person who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, well, they're like the wise person who builds their house upon a rock. So the answer to our deepest problem is not found by putting on a good show or hanging out with good people. It's found in believing the good news. We're going to sing another song now. And then after we've sung that song, we're going to hear a little more of what that good news is. We're going to hear that Jesus is good news for bad people. We're going to hear that Jesus is good news for bad people. This next song is a song of overflowing thankfulness, really sung from the perspective of a Christian. As God has come and transformed their lives, has sorted out that problem on the inside, they're able to sing a song of real thankfulness. And so we've imagined this trolley full of the fruit of our lives. We need to keep that picture in your mind just to help us understand the good news of the Bible. So here's this trolley. It's full of bad things, really. Even the good things we do are rotten in one way or another. And here's the truth, that God cannot look on them or us with pleasure. Those things keep us away from God because they are offensive to him. He is holy, he's perfect, he's good in every way. But you know, there's more to it than that. It's not just that they're an offense to God. There's something else, and it was something we saw in the reading. Do you know, my daughter, one of my daughters, she cannot stand an overripe banana. She can't be in the same room as an overripe banana. If she sees it, if she smells it, she just runs out. That's her response to what she sees. What's God's response to all the wickedness that he sees in this world and in our lives? Well, we read it in Matthew's Gospel a little bit earlier. So in the picture of the tree was chopped down. That there's judgment. Those three pictures each speak of some kind of judgment. A road that leads to destruction. A tree that's chopped down. A house that crashes to the ground. This is God's world, given to us as a gift. Our every breath, our every heartbeat, and every moment is a gift from him. But people haven't lived for him as they should. They've not loved him as they ought. And what a terrible mess we've made of our world. Here's the good news. Here's the good news for bad people. Jesus Christ, God through Jesus Christ, can rescue us from God's judgment. Jesus Christ can put us on that narrow road that leads to eternal life. Jesus Christ can empower us to produce new and good fruit pleasing to God. Jesus can help us build a foundation for life on which we can stand in any storm. That's the good news. But how? That's what you're asking. How? I want that. I don't want my life to be an offense to God. I want things to be put right. I don't want to face his judgment when I die. I want everything to be right in this life and for the life to come. How? How can that be so? If you read Matthew's Gospel, if you read any of the Gospels, you will read that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That was his mission here on earth. He came to save, not to condemn. Isn't that glorious good news? We deserve to be condemned. The trolley of our lives would say just that. But Jesus came to say, I'm not into this world not to condemn you, but to save you. How can we be saved? We can hear the good news that Jesus is willing to save us. How can we be saved? The answer came in our reading this morning. It's by those who respond to Jesus and his message with faith. What is faith? It's not just hearing God's word, it's putting it into practice, living it out in your lives. So anybody who's become a Christian is someone who has put their faith in Jesus. They've heard this message. That though they deserve to be cut off from God in this life and the life to come, they've heard that God loves them and wants to be in relationship with them, and he's willing to rescue them, and he's done everything needed to make that possible. And somebody who has become a Christian, has heard that message and responds with faith, believes it to be true, and acts upon it in their lives. This is what Jesus will do for those who come to him believing. Those who come to him in faith. He will do four things. Here's the first thing. He will take that trolley away. He'll take that trolley of all those horrible things. He will take it away. That's one of the big pictures of the works of Jesus. He will forgive us of all of our sin, and then he will take it away so that God will not see that anymore. Isn't that amazing? Here's the second thing he will do. He not only takes the trolley away, he takes the trolley on. So he takes all of that rubbish on himself. That's what was happening on the cross. Jesus was dying in the place of sinful people, taking the punishment that we deserve for our sin. Jesus in love said, I'll take all your rubbish on myself, and I will take the punishment that your sin deserves. That's love in action, isn't it? But that's not all he will do. He not only takes away the trolley, he not only takes on the trolley, he gives us back a trolley. But it's not an empty trolley. It's a trolley full of good things, a trolley full of Jesus' fruit. He brings to us a new power in our lives. A new help, a new ability to live life in a new way, a new start, a new power to produce fruit that's pleasing to God. He takes the trolley away. He takes the trolley on himself. He gives us a new trolley. And here's what's most wonderful of all. He makes us into a new tree. A Christian's not somebody who's just had a change of mind or joined a club. A Christian is a new person who's been transformed by God. Their sins have been forgiven. God comes and lives with them in a new way. Helps them to live life in a new direction, heading for a new destination. That's what it is to become a Christian. This is how the Bible describes somebody becoming a Christian. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone is a Christian, they are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. That's a really powerful verse. Boys and girls, will you come and help me teach this verse to the adults? Can we have some people out the front? Come and help me. Yeah, just come out the front. If you're willing, come. Brill. And just, yeah, stand in the line here. That's good. So let's think of some actions for these words. So if anyone, so I think you can point out like this. Anyone? If anyone? Yeah. Did you do that? Go on then. If anyone? Okay. If anyone is in Christ, how can we do that? Should we do in? You come to help as well. Thank you. Oh, sorry, darling. I didn't see you there. I'm not your shoe off. Can I help you with your shoe? So if anyone is in Christ, so we'll point in. There you go. Good girl. So if anyone is in Christ, yeah, should we do that? So if anyone is in Christ, I think new creation, like butterfly. Should we do like caterpillar to butterfly? It's a new creation, yeah? Can you do that? So if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Okay, what's this? Okay, this is where it gets tricky. So we do that with thumbs down inside. So the old, you ready, has gone. Let's do that again. So the old has gone. The new has come. Got it? And then all this is from God. Think you did it? Yeah. We'll have a run through and then we'll try it one more time. Okay, so after three, one, two, three. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, grown-ups, let's not leave the young people out the front here to do this on their own. Why don't you join in and let's hear this verse being said nice and loudly. So after three, one, two, three. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Thank you for your help. Do you want to go back and I'll keep out your way this time? How do we sort out the problem of our hearts? How do we sort out the problems on the inside? We don't need to try harder. That's just like apple nailing. We don't need to try and outweigh our bad deeds with good deeds. We don't even need to hang out with good people. We need a Saviour. We need someone who is willing to take away all that is bad. We need someone to make us new on the inside. We need to become a new creation. And here's the good news I want to share with you as we close. Jesus is willing. Jesus is able to save you. But you need to come in faith. You need to come believing. If anybody would like to speak to me about anything I said this morning, I'd be more than happy to speak to you after the service. I'd be more than happy to do that. Or if you want me to come and meet you, please feel free again to fill in a contact and connect card or email me or just get a message to me in some way. I'd be more than happy to come and spend some time with you.